Today, House Democrats introduced a resolution that challenges President Trump's emergency declaration on border security. So far, only two Republicans have said they'll vote for it, even though a number of members of the president's party have expressed concern about whether the declaration's legal.
Meanwhile, everyone in Washington is awaiting the expected conclusion, perhaps next week, of special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into possible Trump campaign collusion with Russians and obstruction of justice by the president. So let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. Joining us today, Beth Fooey, senior politics editor for NBC and MSNBC. Hi, Beth.
Hi there.
And Tolu Olorunipa, White House reporter for The Washington Post. Hi, Tolu.
Hello.
And let's start with the Mueller report and whether it comes today or whether it comes next week. This is the Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham on the Hugh Hewitt radio show this morning about what he expects in the Mueller investigation.
No one's been charged with conspiring with anybody, so that makes me think there is no collusion. And the other stuff is pretty much going to be a yawner. What we're all looking for is, did the Trump campaign work with the Russians? And based on what I see, I'm pretty confident the answer is going to be no.
Okay, so he thinks it's going to be a yawner. We spoke with Congresswoman Jackie Speier, a Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee. She says that the Mueller report might make a good case for the House to take up impeachment of the president. Listen.
I would not be surprised, however, if he provides us with a roadmap that shows the criminality of the president. I think the obstruction of justice issue is a huge issue in this case.
So let me ask each of you, Beth, starting with you, what are you expecting or who do you think's right here?
Well, like everything else in politics and in Washington right now, everybody is so politically polarized, it's really hard to know where the truth lies. I mean, look, we've been reporting, NBC News has been reporting for a while now that the report is going to come out any day now. That could mean today, that could mean in a week, that could mean in 2 days, 2 weeks, but it's going to be soon. And after that, it's going to be up to Attorney General Bill Barr to determine what piece of the report, if any, if all, will be released to Congress and released to the to the public. Now, we really don't know what's going to be in this report, and you know, anybody who says they do is purely speculating. We can, you know, basically kind of tie some of the tea leaves together of what we've seen Mueller's team do up until this point in terms of the folks that they've spoken to and the folks that they have charged at this point. But in terms of tying it back directly to President Trump or to his campaign and the extent to which there's been any collusion or the issue of obstruction of justice, as Jackie Speier just mentioned in that soundbite that you just played, that's the piece that we don't know yet, and that's what everyone's waiting for.
Tolu, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. I think we have to remember that Bob Mueller has already done a lot of legwork in really rolling up a number of the president's closest allies. You have the campaign manager from the president's campaign who's been jailed. You have the president's personal lawyer who's pled guilty to lying to investigators. And a lot of it was sort of trying to hide the involvement between President Trump and Russia when it came to business interests. You also have a number of other people, including the president's first national security advisor, who also pled guilty to lying to investigators having to do with Russia. So there's a lot of circumstantial evidence. And I think if the report puts together the answer that so many people have been trying to find out, sort of why are so many people close to the president lying about Russia, and why did the president and his campaign lie when they said that they had nothing to do with Russia, no business interests, no connections, no contacts, that's the big question. And if this Mueller report is able to answer that question, that could really lead the House and potentially even the Senate to take action based on those answers. But as Beth said, it's hard to know whether or not there will be a satisfactory answer or whether or not it will just lead to more questions about why there was so much deception about Russia during the campaign and after the president was sworn into office.
Doesn't really sound like a yawner either way.
No.
We should say that Bloomberg News today and the New York Times are both reporting that the Manhattan DA is preparing state criminal charges against former Trump campaign chair Paul Manafort, which would mean that Manafort would still face criminal charges even if he is pardoned eventually by President Trump. Also, Sarah Sanders has said that the White House has no concern whatsoever about Michael Cohen's testimony before Congress in public this coming Wednesday. Beth, how does that strike you?
That strikes me as Sarah Sanders is not representing accurately how her boss is looking at this. We've already seen President Trump going after Michael Cohen in very rough language on Twitter, calling him a rat, talking about his cooperation is he's acting as a rat. I mean, those are mafia terms that the president himself has used. So clearly he's quite upset about Michael Cohen cooperating with Mueller. And so the notion that he's, you know, going to be just on his way to Vietnam to negotiate with the dictator of North Korea and paying no attention whatsoever to Michael Cohen does not strike me as accurate.
Let's talk about the emergency declaration. You've almost forgotten about it by this point because it's been like a week since this was the big story in the news. But it is a big deal that the president is declaring a national emergency in order to get his border wall built after Congress said, no, we're not going to fund it to the tune that you wanted. Democrats who control the House are expected to pass their resolution, which would condemn this. The question is, would there be enough votes in the Senate, or would there be enough votes to override a presidential veto? Here's Texas Congressman Democrat Joaquin Castro calling for unity this morning.
This is a president who in every way has pushed constitutional boundaries, has bullied folks. And I believe that if the Congress rolls over on this, that the president is likely to do it again.
Tolu, what are you watching when it comes to this story?
I'm watching a number of senators, Republican senators, who have voiced their concern about the president taking this unilateral action to get money for the border wall after Congress decided not to fund the wall the way he wanted. They said that they were concerned, and now they're going to be put in a difficult position of deciding whether or not to vote alongside those concerns and whether or not they will stand up against the president.
But doesn't it seem like Republicans basically have made the decision that it is easier for them to just stick with Trump all along the way and keep him on their good side?
I think the vast majority of Republicans are in that camp where they're just going to go along to get along. But because this bill only needs 50 votes and you already have 47 senators caucusing with the Democrats, you only need three or four Senate Republicans to decide to break with Trump. And there are a number of Senate Republicans who have been more outspoken about how they believe this is an unconstitutional act by the president. You've already had Senator Susan Collins of Maine say that she would vote for this. So you only need two or three more Senate Republicans to break ranks. And that is something that's very possible. And it could lead to President Trump having to sign his verse veto of his term. And that would be an embarrassment, especially as he goes to the courts to try to uphold this national emergency declaration.
And Beth, before we leave, we have a few minutes left to talk about what's happening in North Carolina. There's going to be a new election there to fill the last remaining undecided midterm election race. It's hard to believe that it's still going on there. This is after Republican Mark Harris, whose campaign was the focus of a week-long election ballot fraud hearing, surprised pretty much everybody at an elections board hearing yesterday when he called for a new election instead of fighting one, as he'd done for months.
It's become clear to me that the public's confidence in the 9th District seat general election has been undermined to an extent that a new election is warranted.
Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer tweeted last night, quote, one of the most egregious cases of GOP election fraud in recent memory was just verified in North Carolina. But real Donald Trump, who spent years spewing lies about voter fraud, is suddenly silent? Question mark. Beth, don't be silent.
Yeah, this has been an extraordinary week. Following that story has just been absolutely riveting. Our team has done a lot of research and determined that this is the first time there's been a congressional redo of an election based on voter fraud. So it is quite significant. And I'm not going to comment on what Chuck Schumer said, but it is noteworthy that typically it's Republicans and Fox News who raise the alarm about voter fraud. And this is the first real serious case that we've seen that's been adjudicated by a state where it's been determined and voted upon that voter fraud did exist. So really, it would be helpful if President Trump weighed in on this, since this is something that he's expressed concern about in the past. But at this point, we've heard nothing from him.
Tilla, this story seems to have so many tentacles. What are you going to be looking for in terms of how this might play out?
Yeah, I will definitely be looking at how Republicans respond to this, whether or not they feel that new laws need to be put in place, especially in North Carolina, where this voter fraud was allowed to happen. And also whether or not Democrats are able to sort of use this defense that Republicans are guilty of voter fraud and voter suppression and voter manipulation in order to try to gin up votes. This is going to be the first election potentially of 2019 in the Congress, and it could give us a sense of where things are headed, where the energy is between the two parties as we head into the next year, not only congressional elections, a number of Senate races, and of course, the big presidential election in 2020.
Well, which brings us perfectly to my last question, which is about the fact that Bernie Sanders just entered the race on the Democratic side. And Beth, as you look at these candidates, Kamala Harris and Cory Booker and Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Pete Buttigieg and others, where do you see the energy right now? Is it, and Amy Klobuchar, people who are moving to the left, who embrace the sort of democratic socialism, or people who are trying to be more moderate like Amy Klobuchar?
Yeah, I mean, the energy for sure is on the left. And Bernie Sanders jumping in and raising, you know, $6 million in a single day demonstrates not only his own personal popularity continuing with the voters who supported him in 2016, but also the message that he really got going in 2016 around Medicare for all and the Green New Deal and raising minimum wage.
Right.
Certainly many other competitors in this field have embraced some of that. But I think folks are also very wary of, you know, steering too far to the left in a way that would perhaps jeopardize the Democrats when they run against President Trump in the general election.
Beth Fooey at NBC and Tolu Olorunupa at The Washington Post. Thanks to both of you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.